You're going to have to understand that one of the biggest challenges we have is that you're going to hear things like, well, this is how we've always done it. This is how I was trained from so-and-so. And you got to keep your leadership hat on and you got to be like, okay, well, just because we've done it one way in the past for a long time doesn't mean it's correct.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Great day to have a great day. Am I right? I hope you're having a great day wherever you are at, whatever you're doing. What a couple weeks it's been. Oh my gosh. I got to update all of you on some life events. One, I got married. Yep, that was exciting. Andrew and I tied the knot April 17th. So that was great. We had a good old shindig and whatnot. So now it's me, Hugh, Andrew, and Evans. Very exciting. After that, basically a week off. We did not do a honeymoon. Yet we got to get ready for Summit, and we had Summit last week, which those of you that came to Summit, I'm so glad you came. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Those of you didn't come, it was unreal. It was a really great turnout. So much fun. You know, I forget how important it is bringing team members to these events and just the cultural bonding and momentum upgrade that it has coming back from that stuff. We've been back now for a couple weeks, and it really solidified some needed core relationships, especially like as you grow and you have new team members. What happens, I think, is you get your like clicks, and these out of office events are so helpful in kind of expanding those clicks to where like we've had our core people that have been here for a while, but we've struggled to like layer in new hires and them like, you know, feel like they're fully integrated into us. And so it was really, really good for that. Just personally having our team down there and whatnot. The people that lectured did a great job. And then the craziest part, which I don't know, you may have seen it if you're on the app, but I had my flu game lecture. Now, some of you probably know what that means. Some of you don't, so I'll explain briefly. But that's a reference to Michael Jordan. Sometime in the 90s, he had the flu and like a crazy bout of the flu and played like his most epic game ever. I wouldn't say this is my epic game ever, but it was my flu game. Jokes aside, I'm backstage literally 10 minutes before I go on to open up the show, right? So the way this goes down is I'm going to open up. I'm going to do like a little fun intro for 20 minutes or whatever to get the crowd pumped up. And then I'm going to kind of basically transition that into a mini lecture that I was going to do. And you've probably seen the videos, but last year I did a round off kind of out of the gate, running down the main. And so I was like, maybe I should do the round off again. You got some good feedback on the round off. So I'm backstage past practicing the round off. And I was going to do a rap to this dental rap to Remember Your Name by Fort Minor. And so I was trying to land the round off on like the intro beat when it's like, let's go. And then the beat drops. And it was going to be so cool. So epic. And I'm on like the sixth time practicing. And I land, and I hear this pop in my left calf area. And I immediately think, I just tore my Achilles. Like, dadgummit. Because it felt like someone kicked me in the back of the leg. Like, classic Achilles. And, and honestly, like, mentally, it was a very dark moment. Because I've torn my ACL, I've torn my rotator cuff. Andrew tore her ACL last year. So I'm very accustomed to, like, what surgeries look like, the recoveries, and how it impacts your life. And so immediately, like, I just fast forward. And I'm not in pain, really. I mean, I can't walk, but I'm not, like, standing there in pain. And I'm, like, flash forwarding to all the things that I'm supposed to be doing over the next couple weeks, months, the summer with boys, learning to ride a bike, skiing at the lake, like, all the things I'm not going to be able to do. Meanwhile, I got to go open this thing up. Literally, like, at this point, it's 8 o'clock. We're supposed to go live. And I'm, like, I can't even walk to the stage. So I was very proud of myself, kind of gathered things, mentally was just like, you got to just dig deep and get through this. And, you know, and the hard part too is like this going out there and doing something uncomfortable. And I kind of allude this to like a lot of things in life. Like you have to commit, right? And so otherwise it's just dumb. And that's how this rap was. Like you can't go out there and half ass it because you're just going to look like an idiot. And so I did it. I came out right by the stage, kind of from behind the curtain, which was, you know, would be weird for me. Was able to kind of more or less just hobble up the stage without, I think, most people recognizing. Like if you know me pretty well, you're probably like, man, he doesn't look like he's getting around as well. And got through it. And then, you know, did everything. It wasn't my best by any means. But yeah, I was really proud of kind of holding it together. And yeah, we went off and did that. So fast forward, I was on a scooter. I got to give Adam and Allie from Filter credit. They got me an Instacarted me a scooter. And so within like an hour, I was back up and running just on this knee scooter. And the event went really well. I was able to still ride roller coasters and have fun. And turns out, great news, it was just a calf strain, which is really emasculating. When you're like, yeah, I just tore my Achilles and got on stage and like, it's a calf strain. But no joke, calf strains are a real deal. Real deal, folks. So you might notice that like it's similar people, NBA stars, National League football players, you know, and me doing a round off, there's something all in common. That's everybody's there as an athlete. So calf strains are no joke. And, but I'm making a pretty good comeback. I feel good about things. And, yeah, walking around pretty normal. I got dry needled. That was an experience. So I just wanted to update you all on where I was at. So it was my Michael Jordan flu game. Got up there, did my thing, round offs, a lot of talk on whether this comes back or is retired. I don't know yet. I think I'm not far enough out to really make a decision. So we'll keep you updated there for sure on what that looks like. But anyways, if you made it past the first 6 minutes of this episode of me recapping my life, I do want to talk about some fun stuff today, that I think is very pertinent and timely, you know, in this day and age, and that is revenue cycle management stuff. So, you know, this is, I think it's a very important topic because this is a discussion that we don't go into a lot as the dentist. And it's an area where we primarily stay clear of just because administratively, it's an area where we're uncomfortable. And a lot of us inherit processes when we buy a practice and, you know, or we're thinking about buying a practice and we think about what it looks like to own a team, buy equipment. What we don't think about is just the cycle that we go through as it pertains to money coming in, dealing with insurance, all these things. And I've been pretty vocal about on this podcast and just in general that I am a pro insurance mindset until you've built to the level of providers that you want to be. So I'll kind of talk about how insurance plays a role in this and it doesn't. And so I want to kind of go back all the way to like the beginning of when a patient comes in and kind of walk through the patient journey of what this should look like and how do we build best practice and recognize that a lot of us probably, as you listen to this, you're going to notice that there's some broken parts of your system and how do we effectively kind of change that to build more scalable systems that allow us to be, you know, truly successful. Because at the end of the day, like our collections process, collecting money, knowing what we're going to get paid, getting paid for it is a pretty vital part of the puzzle. So to me, it starts with when patients come in, the first thing that we have to identify is like, is do they have insurance or not they want to leverage. And if they don't, obviously this is very simple, right? If they don't have insurance and you have your fee for service fees, maybe you have a membership plan. I'll go down that rabbit hole in a minute, but let's first focus on these insurance patients. So patient comes in, they have insurance, you know, then the first question is going to be like, am I in network or out of network? And I want to be super clear. This discussion today has nothing to do with the communication and workflow of getting and how we talk with patients and how we handle insurance. That's almost like another episode because that is very important And so when I say the first thing we do, I don't really mean that the first thing we do is ask the patient what their insurance is, but I'm just talking about on an internal logistics, what do we need to do from an administrative revenue cycle management standpoint? We've got to find out, okay, what is their insurance? Now, we get their insurance and then we got to verify the insurance, right? And this is happening, I think, more and more and more via different AI solutions. So we use Easy Dental Billing. T-Bone uses Overjet right now. And there's a number of other companies out there that have a, basically that will do insurance verification, you know, via AI for you. I think verifying insurance is definitely something that is a, is an outsourced thing more and more and more in today's world. And what I mean by that is it's either outsourced to AI or outsourced to a company, in that we get the insurance card, we upload that into the patient's chart, and then that gets sent off to get verified. Now, verification will look a lot different in different offices, okay? So in some offices, verify means that, oh, that insurance exists, it's eligible, it's active, that was what we verified. And we take this a much different approach, in that verifying insurance also means getting a breakdown of what the benefits are and getting those benefits input into the patient's chart. So we get the insurance card, and then we're going to send off, and we're going to get back a breakdown of what those benefits are. That could look like, okay, they have $2,000 in insurance, that they pay 50% coverage for crowns, 80% coverage for surgery, you know, yada, 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 yada. And so we're going to get this big breakdown of, let's just call it Delta Dental of Alabama. And Delta Dental of Alabama pays all these different things at these percentages. So now what I've got is I can actually give someone a quote based off what we verified in the breakdown that we've received. Now, at this point, the process shouldn't stop there, right? So maybe you're, maybe, and I think what most commonly probably happens is none of this happens on the front end outside of like making sure the insurance is active. Patient goes back. They get diagnosed for a crown number 19. They come up. Patient gets scheduled. Now the administrative team member is going to call the insurance, get the breakdown of that specific procedure, and then they'll call the patient and quote the fee. The total opposite of what we want to be happening in your practices. One, you're scheduling patients before they know what it is. There's no firm financial arrangement in place. The other part about this is it's all retroactive after the fact. It's not forward thinking. There's no strategy behind it. And so we want to change that. So we get the insurance verified, we get the breakdown, and now we've got to create a coverage book in our software for the insurance. And what the coverage book means is I'm going to take that insurance breakdown that I got that gives me all the percentages of what's covered, what's not covered, and that's going to be input into the coverage book of Open Dental, EagleSoft, CareStack, etc. The beauty of this is now if another patient comes in that has that same insurance, they're going to get the same coverage book. I don't have to necessarily do the breakdown again. And when I put in a treatment plan, it will automatically calculate what the patient portion will be, what the insurance portion will be based off those coverage books that are implemented. Now, a couple thoughts around this. One is you may be thinking that, man, this sounds like a lot of work. And there is a lot of work on it, because if the data is not put in correctly, you're going to get bad data out. And so like when I came into this practice, you know, Dad had EagleSoft for 15 years. We had probably 20,000 coverage books. You know, I'm being exaggerating, but basically they were all half-assed done, you know, it was very confusing, convoluted. And so a lot of you need like a clean start. And so that's kind of what we did back when we moved to Open Dental, is we didn't move any of our insurance stuff over. Now you could do this at any point, you know, more or less you can wipe that part or start fresh and start collecting insurance cards again and going through the process. But this really is important to setting up how to scale, because I want to be able to present clearly, concisely, and confidently exactly what a patient portion will be, so that the patient knows, so that we can make arrangements to get it done. We know that ultimately we'll get paid. You know, AR is a product of not having strong financial arrangements in place on the front end or knowing exactly what we're supposed to get paid so that we can handle it appropriately. If you do the front end things correctly, then you should get makes the back end process is much easier. This is pretty straightforward in a in-network situation from that. Again, we get the insurance card, we verify it, we get the breakdown, we create the coverage book, and now it spits out the correct information. You can outsource a lot of this to different companies and things. So you got to decide that whether you want that to be handled internally or not. I do think these are outsourceable things that you can do for sure. They're not very patient front. And then we're going to get the data. We put together a treatment plan, and then we would execute that with our firm financial arrangement form that probably a lot of you have seen. And what's clear, what's really important about our form that we give our patients to show them what we present is that it's going to do a couple things. Number one is it is not going to be the breakdown you get from your printout of your treatment plan from your practice management software. The reason that is because we want to have something that is not that's clear and easier to understand from a patient standpoint. So we're going to write this down in layman's terms. We're going to write down what the total fee is, and then we're going to write down all the different ways that you can pay for it. This is really, really important. And that every single patient sees what it would look like to do their treatment plan, not only pay in full, but also on a monthly payment basis. Again, this is like a core philosophy of how we get people to say yes to 3 crowns at one time instead of 1 crown, 3 different appointments over a longer period of time, is they see that they can make, they can get the issue done one time, make monthly payments over time, and that is more affordable for the patient. That process only works if you've got good systems on the front end to verify clearly what the insurance is, what their breakdown, and how they're going to pay for it. Now, let's talk about the out-of-network insurances, because this is where it gets a little dicier or trickier, right? Because out-of-network insurances, we don't know. We get a breakdown, but we don't know what their allowable fee is. So like if I'm in network, right, Delta Dental will say, hey, your allowable fee for a crown is $800. We'll pay 50% of that. So it's very easy for me to tell the patient you're going to owe $400, assuming they have the insurance. Now, if they're out of network, I don't know what the allowable fee is, right? So I know that my fee is $1,400, but I know that that's probably not going to be the allowable fee there. And so this becomes a headache, okay, when you're trying to calculate exactly what that is. Because if I say, okay, Sella, your crown is $1,400, your insurance will pay 50%, so they're going to pay $700, your portion $700, I know this isn't true. Because I know there's no chance that their allowable is going to be $1,400. It's probably more realistic that the allowable is $900, $800, who knows what it is. And they're going to pay 50% of that fee. So then this leaves us in this big mess, because if my fee is $1,400 and I tell the I do 50% of that breakdown, so then I say the patient portion is $700 and the insurance comes back and only pays $200, well, now there is a $600 balance on the patient's account, and the patient's like, what the heck? You told me it was $700, now I got to pay $600. That's not a very good business model for building solid relationships. And this builds up your AR. You have to, we're out to deal with these things. These are challenges. So what we recommend in this situation to help get around this annoyance in how this works is we're going to recommend that you input the coverage book as you normally would, right? So I have my coverage book, it's MetLife, I'm out of network with them, and they say 50% of the for the crown. So you're going to put that in there. But the difference is when we calculate the treatment, we're not going to take that final amount that it puts out. We're going to do a calculation that's easy. We're going to just take half of it, 50% of it, so that we can better estimate what the insurance is more likely to pay. So let's use my example. My crown is $1,400 and MetLife's going to pay 50%. So the coverage book's in there. And so it says the insurance is going to pay $700. The patient portion will be $700. Again, we know this is not correct. So what we teach and recommend is that you're going to take half of the what we're being told they're going to do, knowing that's not correct, to get closer to the number that will be. So if they say insurance is paying $700, we're going to say they're only going to pay $350. So now, instead of the patient portion being $700, we'll do $1,400 minus the $350, right? And so the patient portion is actually going to be quoted as $1,050. Now, is this perfect? No, but it's way, what we found is way more likely to be pretty close to what the insurance actually is going to pay on an out-of-network situation. And this makes the math easier because you're importing the coverage book as it says, what you're getting from the insurance company, and then you're just basically dividing the treatment plan by two on what the insurance is going to pay and then adding that back to the patient portion. So again, MetLife out-of-network, my crown's $1,400. I don't know what the allowable is, but they say they're paying 50%. So I put that in. It spits out patient portion 700. Insurance will cover 700. We know that's not true because we know the allowable will not be 1400. We're going to take half of that number, 350, and we're going to assume that's what the insurance is going to pay. We'll add the other 350 back to the patient portion. So now we have $1,000 of $1,050, 1050. Is what's going to be presented to the patient for their portion. This allows us to give a clear, confident number that goes on our financial menu. And then one of two things happen. One is we come back and insurance pays a little more than we thought. Great news. Way easier to be like, hey, great news, patient. You got a credit. We can give you that money back or you can apply it towards other treatment. Or worst case scenario, now we get a smaller adjustment where it's like, hey, they come back, they didn't pay $350. They paid $300, and now the patient would only owe $50, and it's like, well, that may be not even worth, you know, that's either, one, easier to get because it's not that much, or, and two, not that big of a deal to lose because you already got $1,050, which is way different than if you had gotten the $700 up front, they only paid the $300, and now you got to go get $450 or $350, whatever I said. So this is a really, really important piece of this puzzle and how we deal with out-of-network, so that we present a way closer representation. Now, some of your admin people may say, like, they may be getting confused and they're going to come up with reasons why this won't work or excuses. Remember, the whole point of a financial arrangement is to get as close as possible to an accurate representation of what the patient's going to owe. No one likes surprises. No one likes surprises. And so if you're going to take the percentage of the out-of-network benefit of your fee, your MSRP fee, your UCR fee, you're going to be wrong. The patient is going to owe more money, and that, in my opinion, is not an acceptable way of doing business. I want to be much closer to that number in those situations. So this has been a really helpful process for both our in-network and out-of-network to make sure that we're reducing our AR and dealing with that. Now, that's kind of like the revenue cycle management up to when the treatment starts. And now I want to spend a little time like after the treatment's done on the back end. So in a perfect world, what would happen is I've collected the patient portion up front, the insurance pays exactly what we thought, and there's no accounts receivable. There's no accounts receivable. We know that's unrealistic. There's going to be situations. And so now we have to deal with how do we deal with these potential balances on accounts. Are we going after the money? Are we adjusting them off? And so then what you need to have happen is you got to create a system in how you deal with your AR and how you deal with your adjustments. What I found somewhat the hard way, somewhat recently, is that you can have a really low AR if you just adjust everything off. Turns out if you write off everything, you have low AR. The alternative is you adjust nothing off and you have a super high AR. And so there needs to be a balance of, I need to keep up with that, knowing, okay, like when do I try and collect? When do I not try and collect? And so my recommendation that you would have is that you would be getting a report on some regular cadence, maybe more often if you're new to this, on what's happening with your claims. why is insurance not paying? Is it because of a limitation, meaning the crown was done within the certain time period? Is it because we did a bad verification and they don't even cover this procedure? Is it we had already used up their insurance and we didn't phase things correctly? Like, why aren't they not paying? This is how you learn, train, create new systems to reduce that stuff in the future. And then there needs to be a protocol on how you're going to go after this AR. Are you texting people, calling people? How long do you sit there before you write it off? All those type of things. And those processes get put into place kind of as you go through that back end process when claims are coming in and you're seeing what you're getting paid, what you're not getting paid. So again, if a lot of this sound foreign to you, it's probably worth going up front, sitting up there for a little bit of time and going through the process, at least walking through a couple patients' journeys to start to finish to see what your office is doing. If your office is doing things differently than what I said, I want you to consider making some changes or looking at seeing where you got blind spots. And you're going to have to understand that one of the biggest challenges we have is that you are going to hear things like, well, this is how we've always done it. This is how I was trained from so-and-so. And you got to keep your leadership hat on and you got to be like, okay, well, just because we've done it one way in the past for a long time doesn't mean it's correct. We're trying to make changes, get better, and have better systems. I hope you enjoyed this episode. What I need from you guys is more, I need more content. I mean, I have topics I want to talk about. Hopefully this was helpful today. But if you've got questions, thoughts that you want to hear more about, please message me on Instagram, send me an email, millennialdentist@gmail.com, post it on the app. This way I can have some more podcast episodes that are pertinent to what you as the listeners want to hear. A couple things I want to mention kind of coming up that we've got going on. Our new mastermind program starts in July. I think there's one or two spots left. The next one won't start till January. This is it's a game changer program. Okay. You're with like-minded people. We're seeing on average a 20 to 30% growth in top line revenue in the first 6 months that people join us. That is crazy. Don't wait. If the stuff like we talked about today is something you're like, man, that sounds great. This is the kind of thing we talk about and deal with in Mastermind. It's an unbelievable program that we got. And if you're looking to get into implants this back half of the year, make it happen. Okay. So take one more step. If you're not placing implants, get started. If you're placing some, but you don't know how to do bone grafting, come to our advanced bone grafting course. If you're ready to jump into full arch world, just gosh, an amazing world, come see us at our full arch course. So otherwise, I hope you work smarter, not harder. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.